News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR.
53106. If you want to get in touch, that'll cost you 30 cents or 087 1400 106. Duncan Bullivant is with us. He's chief executive of Henderson Risk Group, and he's a former British Army officer and a former UK diplomat. And he's here to give us his analysis and insight into the situation currently pertaining in the Persian Gulf, the Straits of Hormuz, and in the conflict between the US and Iran. Because yesterday, the Americans announced Operation, or rather Project Freedom, wherein they were going to use their vast military might to force open the Straits of Hormuz to normal traffic. And one of the things that we were trying to get to the bottom of on the show yesterday was whether or not that was actually practically possible. 24 hours later, we have the answer. It's not. They've given up. Duncan, surely the US military is not in the business of launching major campaigns like this and then abandoning them 24 hours later.
No, but I think you've got to look at the political context that the US are operating in. Trump had to end the military phase of the operation because he was running out of the 60 days he's allocated before he has to go to Congress to continue the war. So that was the backdrop to all this. He had to sort of end one phase, then start a new peaceful phase. And of course, the Iranians knew that. The Iranians are smart cookies, and they were running the clock down as well. Where this takes us now is into slightly uncharted territory, if I can use a nautical term. The Straits of Hormuz are not going to be opened by military might alone. The United States military presence in the Straits is as big as it can get. It's enormous. But the Iranians can still damage the confidence of the insurance markets and prevent ships from getting through. Just to give you an estimate of what the US operation was going to achieve. Of the 130-odd vessels, big oil tankers that normally move through the straits, the US was only looking at guaranteeing safe passage for about 10 to 12. So 10% of the previous traffic. And that's not an economic success story. That's just a bit of political symbology. Where do we go from here? Well, at the end of it, if you look at the wider region, you know, the Gulf states have made themselves more robust in terms of potential attack from Iran. You've got great cooperation now between the Israelis, the UAE. The UAE have now deployed the Israeli Iron Dome system to protect themselves against missile attack. You've got greater cooperation between the government of Lebanon and Israel, who've both now identified Hezbollah as the problem. That's a massive change. You've got general regional cooperation against Israel, and very much in line with the Abraham against Iran, I should say, and basically a rerunning of the Abraham Accords, which of course was an initial Trump, the previous Trump administration, great success in many ways. But where do we go from here? Well, the Gulf states are kind of unified against Iran. The US doesn't have the key to this. The key to this still is a political decision and a political change of direction in Iran. I think you'll see a bit of an off-ramp. The Pakistani role is now to allow a suspension in the current level of hostilities, get the economy moving again. But ultimately, what will drive this in the future will be the desire for Iran to acquire a nuclear weapon, which is still right at the center of their philosophy and right at the center of their desire. And how that is managed, it remains to be seen, but the idea that the Iranians cut a deal and carry on as normal and then keep enriching uranium isn't going to happen. And I think that's where we're at this stage.
And short term then, if they are, as you described them, smart cookies who are privy to all of the pressures that come to bear domestically on Donald Trump, are they not greatly incentivized to keep the economic pressure and the oil price pressure as high as possible till as close to the midterms as possible, so as to hamstring him for the next 2 years?
Yes, I mean, the Iranian objective right now is to prevent Donald Trump from claiming victory before the midterms. I mean, if he could turn around and say everything we did was for the common good and we achieved something amazing, that would give him a bit of a bounce in the midterms. And the Iranians aren't going to allow him that. Having said that, the clock is running down in Iran as well. The economic situation in Iran is dire. Absolutely dire. the cost of living, the cost of food. These are all the issues that the Americans and the Israelis will be looking at. You know, people far cleverer than me once said that most societies are only four meals away from revolution. Once people start going hungry, once people start realizing that they can't actually afford to put food on the table, and I'm not suggesting that the Iranians are at that point now, or that that is necessarily the right approach to take, but that's the direction that Iran is heading in at the moment economically. It will implode within the next 2 to 3 weeks if they don't start exporting oil.
Duncan, thank you very much for that analysis. Duncan Bullivant there, CEO of Henderson Risk Group, and of course, former British Army officer and former UK diplomat. 53106, if you want to get in touch with the show, or 087 1400 106.
News Talk Breakfast with Anton Savage. In association with AIR. Weekday mornings at 7. News Talk. Conversation that counts.